sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
No, this is not Mr. Victor. Excuse me. This is not Mr. FSP, or otherwise called Mr. Victor Gardner. This is JT, a.k.a. the Master, the co-host of the FSP show. I've had the total control today because Mr. Victor Gardner is doing his duty today and over this weekend. So sit back, relax, grab a nice warm drink, hot chocolate, coffee, whatever. Get your pen and pencil out and take some notes if you like, because for the next hour, not going to be an hour, well, it's going to probably be a little bit more than an hour, we're going to be talking about wins, who wins, and who loses in week 14 of the NFL season in reality and in fantasy. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again because that's what I do. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me and only me today. Unless somebody happens to pop in and we can have a conversation between myself and whoever's on the line. We also have a chat room open. It's open there for your convenience. Lay your knowledge in there. Ask a question, make a statement, and then we'll address it on the air as we see fit. As always, this is the hotline, the call-in hotline, and the show is sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners play and players win. I know this is a different model, but that's how I like to say it, because winners play and players win. It's like what I like to hear somebody say and like to see players win when they go to that site. Jump in there. They got all kinds of sports, all kinds of odds, very user-friendly odds for those who are in the like to wager on various games, whether it be the NBA, the NFL, hockey, college football, college basketball, professional basketball. They've got a horse racing. They got everything at that site. If it can be bet on, for the most part, you go to Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com and you'll be able to put some money down. Start an account and good luck. Anyway, week 14, like I said, in reality, a lot of player teams with playoff aspirations, a lot of teams in fantasy with championship aspirations. This is week 14 of the fantasy football playoffs. Week 14 with the fantasy football playoffs for most sites and most teams is their first round of the playoffs, leading them to eventually trying to get that belt, ring, trophy, whatever is what whatever is your reward for getting the championship is. Mine is in a couple of leagues. There's money and a trophy. In my family, it's money and a trophy. And a lot of leagues that I'm in, it's money. So you put your heart and soul into it. You keep your focus because the ultimate prize, besides getting that championship, that word next to your name at the end of the fantasy season, You get that money. That money. Absolutely. Or, you know, a trophy. You get that reward at the end of the rainbow. That's what you're looking for. If you're a competitor in fantasy, that's what you like. And hopefully between the shows that we've been running, the FFP show, the FFP crew show, which runs on 8 o'clock Thursday night, every Thursday night, and then this show, the FSP show, which is usually hosted by Victor Gardner and co-hosted by myself, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time each and every Saturday, and then also the Master Plan, which is hosted by myself, and my co-host is Lance, the NFL exporter, Goodman, and we host that show. And we talk about is fantasy, you know, because it was fantasy football season. That's one of the things we really like talking about. We talked about that, and hopefully we helped you get to this spot, which is in the playoffs, with a chance to win a championship. And tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, Lance and I, since this is the first week of the playoffs, we'll break down every game like we've been doing since the beginning of the season. And who's going to be your fantasy goodness? Who's going to be your fantasy zeros? Okay? Some of them are going to be heroes. Some of them are going to be zeros. We strive to give you as many heroes as you possibly can so you can move on to the next round. That's what we've been trying to do each and every week, trying to get you to get the best possible players, get the players that someone else may not be thinking about, or some members of your team, some members of your league haven't thought about. We try to be a week ahead of time. For that, for the simple reason is we try to get the player before he breaks out, and then everybody's scrambling for him. So if you grab him up a week earlier, you're that much smarter, you're that much more ahead of the curve, and you'll reap the rewards of that big week that people are start chasing points after a player has broken out. We try to do that on Sunday, so hopefully you tune in tomorrow and we can try to do the same thing to help you get that win in the playoffs and move win and move on, I should say. All right, enough of my ranting, enough of my self-promotion or whatever you have. Let's get down to the brass tacks and business of picking winners, because on this show, Victor's show, conversely, not to the show I do on Sunday, we don't pick winners on Sunday. We just pick players and things that and players that we think will benefit you for that fantasy week. This show picks actual team winners if they're going to. I wouldn't say beat the spread, but who's going to win, who's going to lose, basically. And you know what? Today, I may go this route. I know on prior shows, this is not the first time you've been listening to the show. You hear Victor and I going and picking teams, who's going to win, who's going to lose. Well, I'm going to take it one step further because I'm all by my widow self. I'm going to pick the point spread. I'm not saying I'm the best. I'm just going by how I feel, what team is going to win, what team is going to lose, and if they're going to lose, if they're going to beat the point spread, or if they're going to win, if they're going to beat that point spread, or what. And I'm telling you right now, this is not going to be scientific. This is just going to be a purely gut call. So this is just for entertainment purposes only, and don't hold me to it, but I'm just giving you a little nugget, and hopefully it's not a bad nugget versus a good nugget. I'm trying to give you a golden nugget versus just a plain old rock, let me put it that way. Enough of my ranting on. Let's go to the first game on the docket. It's a 1 o'clock game. Florida team coming up to Motor City, talking about Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Detroit Lions in Detroit, quite naturally, with the Detroit Lions 8-4, needed to win a game and the 2-10 Bucks, and at home they're 5-1 this year. Talking about the Lions. Last year, believe it or not, the Buccaneers won 24-21 in Detroit last year. 24-21. But I can tell you for a fact, they had a different coaching staff. They had Greg Schiano versus Jim Caldwell now. And different mindset. They're playing a lot different, meaning Detroit, than they played last year. Same thing as in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is playing a lot different than they were last year. They have Lovie Smith as a head coach. And needless to say, in my opinion, Tampa has a lot of work to do to turn this around. And they're not going to turn it around today, or I should say tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Detroit. I think, for one, I'd be surprised, and I'd be extremely surprised because Detroit's got one of the top five defenses, especially against the wide receivers and quarterbacks that that come up against them. So, what I see here is and they're top 10. Let me put it this way. In between the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, either they're in the top five or top 10 against those skill positions. Top four, top five against the quarterback and wide receiver. Top 10 against the running back. So it's going to be tough sledding for Josh McCown and company. Now, Josh McCown did play for Chicago, does know the Detroit Lions pretty well, but. And I've said this, and I've been consistent throughout the whole year. In my opinion, Josh McCown is a backup quarterback. He is not a starting quarterback, even though he is starting. In my opinion, he's not a starting quarterback, and he shouldn't be a starting quarterback on any of your fantasy teams, with the exception of a two-quarterback team. You may he's on the edge of that. I mean, you're talking about if you're in a 12-team league, there's 32 teams in the league. I'm pretty sure that you can get a second quarterback, if you're at two quarterback league, better than Josh McCown to start for you this week. So if you're in dire straits, quite naturally you're going to have to play in a two quarterback league, Josh McCown. But in other normal circumstances, no way, no how, don't even think about it. And in my opinion, and I know that some of these players on the team are have to be started because this is what you have and this is what you're left with right now. But Doug Martin, Charles Sims, they're not startable in my opinion. Not in running back one or two. Maybe in a flex. But I would rather have Mike Evans or Vincent Jackson. One of those two guys in my flex, because the fact, you know, they're going to have to, meaning Tampa Bay, is going to have to run the ball, because the fact is Detroit's going to put up some points. I think the line here is Detroit by minus 10, and I think they're going to hit that easily. I don't think any of these players, you never can guarantee touchdowns, but never can guarantee. Players are going to get touchdowns, even though I did last week, and I'll get to that later on. And I guarantee a player would get two touchdowns, and I was wrong. He got three. So, but in this game here, I don't think any of these players are going to get into the end zone. For the simple fact, as anemic as the offense is in Tampa Bay, and as strong as the defense is in Detroit, and they're in Detroit in a fast track, built for the Dome, which is Detroit, that it would be very difficult for me to play any player from Tampa Bay. Now, you may be stuck with Vincent Jackson or Mike Evans, and it could even be your wide receiver, too. There should be a wide receiver one. Hopefully, you got a better option. But these guys, the wide receivers, are no more than flex plays, in my opinion. On the other side, Detroit. Let me put it this way. Tampa Bay is middle of the pack against a quarterback. On the lower side against the running back, they're 23rd against the running back. The 22nd in defending the running back in fantasy points. The 22nd against the place kicker. So what I'm saying is this. They're in the middle of the pack in preventing fantasy points against the tight end. So what I'm saying is this. Matt Stafford, absolutely one of the best plays this week if you have him. Joyke Bell, absolutely one of the best plays you can play because Joyke Bell is an all-purpose back. He's got more power than Reggie Bush, and he can be used in a passing game. Reggie Bush is supposed to be coming back for the first week in quite a few weeks. He is expected back, like I said, but he's been ineffective when he has played, and like I said, Joyke Bell remains the one with fantasy value. And if those who were playing Theo Riddick in place of Reggie Bush, he takes a back seat because Reggie Bush is back, who happens to be that pass catching and change of pace back because of the effectiveness Joyke Bell brings to the table. Two guys here, and both these guys, in my opinion, are wide receiver ones in this game, even though in reality on the team, there's wide receiver one and wide receiver two, meaning Calvin Johnson is the number one wide receiver, and Golden Tate is the number two. But in fantasy, these guys are wide receiver ones because of how they've been playing with Matthew Stafford and the connection they have. So I'm saying that this is a lock, in my opinion, that Detroit's going to beat Tampa Bay by 10 points without a shadow of a doubt. Let's move on to the Houston Texans. My Houston Texans versus a division rival and a scary, and you can't overlook these guys, especially a division rival and you're playing in their house, and they have it's a division rival. So you can't let your guard down like the Giants did last week and gave that game back to the Jacksonville Jaguars for them to pick up their second win out of the 12 they played. But the Giants got beat by a 1-9 team, a 1-10 team, which makes the Jaguars now 2-10. Feeling pretty good about themselves, playing at home again, playing against a division rival that they want to help them not make the playoffs. This is a very important game for the Houston Texans because the Texans are trying to fight to a position to get into the playoffs. They're at 6-6 right now. They're 3-3 on the road. Jacksonville is 2-4 at home. Last year, the Jaguars swept the Texans. Now they play the Texans at home, meaning the Jaguars. They play them this week at home. And week 17, the last week of the season, they play the Texans, meaning Jacksonville, goes to Houston and plays the Texans again. So this is Houston's chance to at least go to 8-8 if they win these two games, meaning this game and the last game against Jacksonville, which would be a major accomplishment. Being where they were at 2-14 last year with the number one pick. Anyway, let's go to the Texan side of the ball. Ryan Fitzpatrick, coming off a career high 358 yards and 6 touchdowns against the Titans. Now the Titans supposedly their weakness was the run. Well, they got run on a little bit, but not as badly as they got passed on. And I'm not looking for Ryan Fitzpatrick to do a lot of touchdowns, throwing touchdowns in this game. I think he's going to throw for a couple touchdowns. And he's in my opinion, a sleeper pick here. If for some reason, you don't have a viable quarterback, and I find it very hard to believe. For the most part, against the Jaguars, you can put up some very good points against the Jaguars because their defense is – they play better at home, but they can be gassed quite well. So I'm still calling for Ryan Fitzpatrick to have a couple touchdowns and just shy of 250 yards in the passing game. I think Arian Foster gets two touchdowns in this game, one through the on the ground and one in the air, along with DeAndre Hopkins. Andre Johnson just scored his just scored his second touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, last week, and I see him not getting into the end zone this week. I see him getting double-digit points, but not getting into the end zone. Basically, DeAndre Hopkins happens to be the guy who's the number one. Even though they say Andre Johnson's the number one wide receiver, the one's been putting up number one numbers is DeAndre Hopkins. And that's with two quarterbacks. And he's still been producing quite well. So if I was to go... And hopefully you have one of these guys. Andre Johnson is probably a flex, in my opinion, because he's not as reliable as DeAndre Hopkins. And he's not as dynamic and explosive as DeAndre Hopkins. So I would deem DeAndre Hopkins the number one wide receiver in fantasy, I'm saying. And Andre Johnson, a flex or a wide receiver three with upside to two, to a wide receiver two. Quite naturally, you're going to start Arian Foster. And now on the other side, and two other things here. Now, I've talked about kickers before, and I think this guy is going to be valuable. They're going to be able to move the ball against Jacksonville and be in field goal position if they don't get into the end zone around Bullock. And I've been talking about kickers for several weeks here. It's going to be a good option if you need a kicker, especially against Jacksonville, who's one of the worst of giving up points to the kicker. Let's move over to – and also the Houston defense against the very mistake-prone Blake Bortles. It's a real good play here, but they're probably scoffed up somewhere. They're a good play. I wouldn't play Blake Bortles anywhere. Denard Robinson, he's been tailing off lately. There's two guys that – well, three guys. Three players in here that could be decent wide receiver three, maybe a flex play. One of them is Marquise Lee. Allen Hurns is out. Allen Robinson is too. Marquise Lee, another young rookie wide receiver. Blake Bortles got to throw to somebody besides Cecil Shorts. So Marquise Lee, I see him getting the lion's share of the targets and getting probably the lone touchdown or a touchdown in this game. Cecil Shorts is probably a wide receiver three or four and a flex. He's going to get – because I think Blake Bortles is going to have to throw the ball in order to be able to move the ball against Houston. So, and Houston is on a bottom rung defending against the pass, against wide receivers. So, I think they're going to have to move the ball through the air and not on the ground. So, Cecil Shorts, I think he's going to get just on the low end of double digits. And Josh Scobie, they may move the ball, but they won't move the ball into the end zone. Scobie is a very good kicker, especially at home, and he's a good play also in this game. I wouldn't play the Jaguars' defense because I know they play better at home, but I don't think they're going to be a good play for this week. All right, let me move on to the next game. You know what? Before I move on to the next thing, let me do a little short commercial here, and then we'll be right back with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back. Tune in on Thursday night, 8 o'clock, FSP Crew Show. We talk about everything. And quite naturally, FSP stands for Fantasy Sports and Politics. And we talk about it all. So, and you never know what we're going to talk about. The forum is always open, and whatever comes up, comes up. And we have a conversation about that subject matter. So tune in, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday night. Hope you be there, and hope you enjoy the show if you are. All right, let's get back to these picking these games. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Cincinnati is favored by 3.5. This is from what I'm seeing now. It could change, but 3.5 is what I'm basing my analysis on. So let's go like this. Pittsburgh 7-5, only 3-3 road games, but and like I said, they need this game to stay in the playoff race in the AFC. Cincinnati is 8-3-1, 4-1-1 at home, and are on a three-game winning streak. Last year, these two teams traded home and home wins, meaning Cincinnati won at home and Pittsburgh won at home. The Steelers won in Pittsburgh 30-20, and the Bengals won in Cincinnati 20-10. These are one of the two teams that in this division that usually win at home against a division rival, especially these two teams versus winning at each other's park. So with that being said, I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick the players first, and then I'll tell you who I pick after I do analysis of both sides. All right, I've been on the Ben Roethlisberger bandwagon forever. I won a championship last year with Ben Roethlisberger. I've had Ben Roethlisberger on my roster quite a bit last year and also this year. When Ben Roethlisberger was at his peak, meaning when he threw those six touchdowns back to back, I traded Ben Roethlisberger in between those two monstrous Sundays. Got good value for him, and Ben Roethlisberger has been inconsistent at best. Since the two-game stretch of six touchdowns, Ben Roethlisberger has settled back down to a normal one, or two scores per week. The problem is, six road games to date, he's totaled only six touchdowns and pedestrian passing yards in each. And when he's home, he's produced 20 touchdowns. Looked like he injured his hand when it banged against the helmet last week. Quite naturally, he didn't come out the game. He played through it, and it's not expected to bother him or be an issue this week. But he's played moderate at best on the road. And where is he playing? On the road in Cincinnati. So I think Ben Roethlisberger, even though he's got a plethora of weapons in even in the passing game, Le'Veon Bell, I think, who's got over 60 catches, if I'm not mistaken, maybe a lot more. I'm just shelling him short. Antonio Brown, quite naturally, I called this guy out two seasons ago, I think it was, and told you about this guy. And hopefully you jumped on the bandwagon when I told you, because he's done nothing but explode and done quite well. Now, I have a question in the chat room. Would I use Ben over Peyton this week? Hell no. hopefully you got a better option than Ben Roethlisberger. If you don't, you just cross your fingers and hope that he does well. But there's no way I would use Ben Roethlisberger over Peyton Manning. No. Peyton Manning, he's playing at home. He's playing against a very good pass rush in Buffalo, against Buffalo. But Buffalo is in Denver. Peyton is playing in Denver. He's played well at Denver. I know in the last few weeks his numbers have been shaky, but there's no way I'm sitting Peyton Manning for Ben Roethlisberger. So if you have someone, if you have Peyton and you got Ben, Ben sits on the bench and watch Peyton throw for two or three touchdowns in Denver. That's all I can say. G's still learning. Don't play Ben Roethlisberger if you have Peyton Manning on your roster. No, that makes no sense. Like I was saying, that the Roethlisberger has a lot of young talent. Antonio Brown, who's been he's a veteran, and then he got these two young guys, Marcus Wheaton and Martavius Bryant. Now they do have a pass rush. Cincinnati has somewhat of a pass rush, and Cincinnati is number two in preventing fantasy points in the league, and number five in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback. So in those two positions, they're better off. Where they get exploited at is against the running backs. Running backs, they are 29th in preventing fantasy points. So I would say that you are in a position that you should temper your expectations, but Antonio Brown is an absolute stud, and you don't sit him, okay? You don't sit him. On the other side, you start Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill. I like these guys, AJ Green. Pittsburgh is middle of the road, middle of the pack, leaning toward the negative side of preventing fantasy points against the running back, quarterback, and wide receiver. So all these skill positions in Cincinnati going up against Pittsburgh, especially at home, are all positive plays for me. With that being said, Cincinnati is a 3.5-point favorite, and I think they cover and win at home. So I like Cincinnati in that. All right, let's move on because we still got a lot of games to cover, and let's go against this one here, which is the St. Louis Rams. After coming off of a 52-0 shellacking that they put on the Oakland Raiders, is going to the drama in D.C. I'll put it like that, where RG3's gotten benched, Colt McCoy is now the starter, and Trey Mason broke out. All right, let's put it this way. DeSean Jackson has not practiced and will be a game-time decision because of his leg. The Rams are 5-7. Like I said, they're coming off a crazy win over the Raiders, but they're only 2-4 on the road. The Redskins are 3-9. They're on a four-game losing streak, and now Robert Griffin III is sitting, and Colt McCoy, like I said, is the starting quarterback. This is a tough game for me to call, okay? And I'm going to go over the players first, and then I'll make my call on who I think is going to win this game. Now, Trey Mason had 117 yards and two scores on just 14 runs. He caught three passes for 47 yards, and he got a third touchdown. Remember earlier in the program, I called you and told you and said I called this. Well, on the master plan, Yet last week, I had told my esteemed co-host, Lance NFL Exporter Goodman, that I thought that Trey Mason, and I called it. I guaranteed he's going to get 2 touchdowns. Well, I was wrong. He got 3 touchdowns. So that's just one of the calls that I like to make. I also said, and I'll get to it later. In fact, I'll wait on that point. But on this, Washington is 4th against the running back in preventing fantasy points. So all the fantasy goodness that Trey Mason had last week, it's a different story. Just think about this. St. Louis is a turf team. They're playing inside. They're going on the road, playing a Washington Redskins team that preventing fantasy points to a running back. The fourth ranked in that. So I don't think Trey Mason is going to get 117 yards and 3 touchdowns total. I think he's going to get into the end zone at least once, gain about 70 yards on the ground, get about another 30 on the in passing game with a 2 or 3 catches, which equates to about 13, 14 points, give or take, around there, and be a viable flex position or maybe a running back 2 with upside, because this kid is very explosive. I'm saying to you right now, I'll say it on the show tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time about Trey Mason. This kid's going to be a superstar next year. Listen to what I'm saying. This kid's going to be a superstar next year. People are going to be talking about it and saying, where does this kid come from? I'm telling you right now, you can pick this guy up in later rounds in your fantasy draft in 2015, and he's going to give you RB1 numbers. As long as he stays healthy, this kid is a superstar in waiting. One of the things I do like to talk about are running backs and the potential of running backs, and when I can see a running back that's going to be breaking out, this is one of them. Trust me when I'm saying this, and I'll say it again when 2015 Fantasy Talk starts coming around. I'm telling you right now, this kid's going to be a superstar, a dynamite running back in 2015. Anyway, with that being said, the other guy I like in here, I really don't like Sean Hill that well in here, even though that the Washington Redskins are almost dead last. They're 31st against the quarterback, preventing fantasy points from a quarterback, and 24th against preventing fantasy points against the wide receivers. I like I wouldn't start Sean Hill unless I was absolutely desperate, and desperate times call for desperate measures, and you would play Sean Hill. You can definitely play him in a quarterback if you have a team that has 2 quarterbacks. This is definitely a good play. Okay. G's Still Learning asked me about he's got Garcon. Well, let me ask you this. I know Pierre Garcon hasn't been doing anything too well. Let me just listen a little bit. G's Still Learning. I'm going to be talking about the Redskins very shortly. Stedman Bailey has been one of the better targets and has been a factor for 2 straight games with 89 yards and a score in San Diego, and then 100 yards and on 5 catches versus the Raiders. He is a definitely good play. I just told you, the Washington Redskins are 24th against preventing fantasy points. So, with the wide receivers. So, you'll be able to throw, sure he'll be able to throw to him, and this is one of the guys that they like throwing to. I put him in my lineup this week. In a fantasy player, so I'm taking a chance on this kid now, and I like him. So I think he's going to do well. Let's move over to the Washington Redskins, where the St. Louis Rams are 29th against the wide receiver in preventing fantasy points, 9th against the running back in preventing fantasy points, and 18th against the quarterback. So the middle of the road against the quarterback. On the lower side of lower ranks against the wide receiver, and they're in top 10 in preventing fantasy points against the running back. So, what I'm saying is this. I don't like Colt McCoy in this game, even though it's middle of the road. I don't like that. The pass rush in St. Louis is pretty stout, and it's been pretty stout for the last couple of seasons. Colt McCoy's going to be running for his life. Alpha Morris is probably the best bet in the run game, and he's probably the only shot, in my opinion, on the run side to get into the end zone. What I do like is this. DeSean Jackson is hurt, and more than likely it looks like he may not play, or he's going to be very limited. Pierre Garçon, if you have Pierre Garçon G still learning, put him in your lineup. Absolutely put him in your lineup, because Colt McCoy is going to have to throw to somebody. I know they got Andre Roberts. I know they had Jordan Reed, but Pierre Garçon is a very good middle of the field and deep threat. So I would put absolutely Pierre Garçon and start him and be confident in what's going on there. With that being said, I'm looking at this game and I'm saying, who is going to win this game? Usually I would go to the team that's playing at home when it's a toss-up. St. Louis is favored by 2.5. But there's a lot of drama going on in Washington. I like the defense and the confidence that's growing in leaps and bounds with a steady hand of a quarterback in Sean Hill in St. Louis. They're going on the road. They're playing on the grass, and they're playing against a Washington team that's pretty decent against in the defensive side, especially against the run. But I still like St. Louis to win this game, and I think they cover the 2.5. Let's move on to the next team on the docket, and that would be Giants at Tennessee. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's talk about this. Giants, 3-9 on a 7-game losing streak. They're only 1-5 on the road. The 2-10 Titans on a 6-game losing streak and are just 1-4 at home. Wow. Wow. You know what's going to happen here? This game is only fantasy. This game only fantasy could love, and one team finally reaches a W, and because of the defenses in this game, and I just thought about this, I have one team I'm playing in the playoffs that has the Giants as a defense, and I'm thinking about changing that for the simple fact that both these teams' defense are pretty bad. Zach Mettenberger is back at practice despite his shoulder sprain and is expected to start. Kendall Wright's cracked bone in his hand will keep him out at least this week. Rashad Jennings may still play despite only getting in one limited practice this week. Quite naturally, he won't be 100% if he can play, and he's not yet a lot to be able to play. So, wow. Giants are favored in this game by 1, and they're playing in Tennessee. They were favored by, I think, 3-4 points, if I'm not mistaken, in Jacksonville, and they lost. Wouldn't surprise me if they lost here either, but if Rashad Jennings can play and he's anywhere near close to 100%, even though it's been said that he won't be 100%, but Tennessee can be run on. They've been gassed left and right in recent weeks. Just by saying that, let me just get you the stats here. All right, Tennessee is 28th against preventing points against the running back. There's 32 teams in the league, people. They're 28th. They're 12th against the quarterback, so the quarterback position is probably their best position that they defense against in preventing fantasy points. The 21st against preventing fantasy points to a wide receiver, 21st against preventing points against a tight end, 31st against the kicker. So they give up a lot of points to the kicker, meaning that teams can move on them. And even if they stall, they get in field goal position and are able to kick field goals against Tennessee. And even the defense. They're ranked 24th of preventing fantasy points. So they're the type of team that you get fat in fantasy with. The Giants are 28th against the quarterback, 24th against the running back. They do better against the wide receiver. They're 19th against the tight end, 27th against the kicker, and 26th in preventing fantasy points to the defense. So both these teams are pretty bad. Pretty bad. I do like both tight ends in this game. I think both tight ends are going to be effective in this game because these two teams don't defend the tight end well. They don't defend the running back well at all. And with the Titans a little better, Titans are better against the wide receiver than the Giants. But the Giants are going up against a hurt or injured rookie quarterback or Jake Locker. One's just as bad as the other, in my opinion. One's learning the job, and the other one can't keep his job, meaning Jake Locker. Well, Kendall Wright, like I said, is got a cracked bone in his hand, and he won't be playing. So don't play him. Go to another alternative if you have him. G's still learning. He's in the chat room asking me questions about players, and Kendall Wright is a no-go for this week. So I would not play him at all. If you have another alternative, go to him, and good luck. With that being said, you know, Bishop Sankey is probably a good player. I know Bishop Sankey. But if you're desperate for a running back, and I know there's a few people in my leagues, especially 14-team leagues and higher, where positions like the running back are scarce, and you're looking for someone to give you decent points, this is a matchup on both sides of the ball that a running back that you may not play normally and is going to get some touches is a decent play because of the fact is these two defenses are absolutely horrible against the running back position. With that being said, it's New York Giants a bit favored by one. I think they cover that. I think they play a lot harder. This is the second road game, Jacksonville first and then Tennessee. I think the Giants are not going to lose to two teams that combined have won four games over the 24 games that have been played. Jacksonville is 2-10. Jacksonville is 2-10, and so are the Tennessee Titans. So I think the Giants get their fourth win this week because they need it awful badly to break this seven-game losing streak. Somebody's streak is going to end, whether the seven-game losing streak the Giants have or the six-game losing streak the Titans have. One of those streaks is going to end come Sunday. Let's move on to the next one, which is a division rival, and these two teams are fighting two below par teams, two disappointing teams, to say the fact. Both these teams, even though New Orleans Saints won a game last week against Pittsburgh unexpectedly on the road, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers visiting the New Orleans Saints. And I talk about Cam Newton first. Well, let me answer this question in the chat room, which G's still learning. G's still learning. Look for a Charles Johnson. Look for maybe a Greg Jennings. Look for, and he probably won't be on the waiver wire, Kenny Stills. Look for, trying to think who else could be. Michael Floyd is very inconsistent, and you never know what you're going to get with him. And I would not pick up Michael Floyd from Arizona. If you're in the fantasy playoffs and you need a wide receiver, I wouldn't bank my points in that position on Michael Floyd. He has not been a what the, we thought he was going to be beginning this season. And he's going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, even they're playing at home. Drew Stanton hasn't been accurate. Hasn't been accurate at all. So you never know what you're going to get, and you want to be able to put players in your roster that are reliable, that the quarterback, if it's a wide receiver, is going to be reliable enough to get the ball to him, and that the wide receiver is going to be reliable enough to get open and catch the ball. That hasn't taken place with Michael Floyd in Arizona with Drew Stanton in there, even with Carson Palmer. So, no, don't pick him up. Even if he goes off, and I'm wrong, he's not a consistent starter, and you need somebody that's relatively consistent. Hopefully you have somebody on your roster that you can put in there instead of Kendall Wright or Michael Floyd. Look on it. Look on at the – in fact, you know what you do? Tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. G's still learning. And Lance and myself will be talking about guys we may think that you could pick up on the waiver wire that are still sitting there that can give you reliable points and help you in your fantasy playoffs. But Michael Floyd is not the option. I tell you that right now. And let's get back to Carolina and New Orleans. In New Orleans. I think not 1 week has assured me that New Orleans has righted the ship against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been very inconsistent, and so has New Orleans on the road especially. But they're playing Carolina. New Orleans, if not for one thing, they do have a decent pass rush, and if not for anything, Carolina has a horrendous offensive line and can't protect Cam Newton. He's been scrambling for his life all season. New Orleans is 24th. Excuse me. Carolina is 24th against preventing fantasy points to the quarterback. 22nd against the running back. 28th against the wide receiver. They do a better job against the Yeah, they do a better job against the tight end, with they're ranked at 12th. But along with the place kicker and the defense, they're 21st and 27th in preventing fantasy points against those respective positions. This fantasy goodness to be here, people. Jimmy Graham was held without a catch. He's still dealing with a shoulder issue, and he was held without anything last week. D'Angelo Williams is listed as out for the Carolina Panthers. Jonathan Stewart is going to be the running back. That's going to be the guy to count on for Carolina. So, you know what? These guys are tough to take. You know, there's one guy in here that I really like, that I really suggest you taking, because I know they're going to throw to him quite a bit, and he's going to get a lot of targets. Besides Kelvin Benjamin, which a lot of people, Kelvin Benjamin. Well, you think New Orleans doesn't know that too? Greg Olsen. Now, Carolina is number two in preventing fantasy points. New Orleans is number 12 in preventing fantasy points against the tight end. Carolina is number two in preventing fantasy points against the tight end. And let me revise what I said here. But you got to play Greg Olsen. You got to play him. I mean, he's a top. He's a tight end one, and he's a He's definitely a guy that you need to start. All right. Let's do this. G's still learning. I appreciate you. Tune in tomorrow. I need you. If you're in the fantasy playoffs, and I rest assured you, we're going to cover every player that you have in fantasy playoffs. Tune in tomorrow. Jump in the chat room. Ask your questions again. And we're going to give you some more guys that you can possibly pick up at the last minute. And maybe on your fantasy waiver wire. Or, better yet, jump on a computer, look in your waiver wire and look in the waiver wire and ask the questions as you're looking into the waiver wire and give us the options that you have and we'll tell you who you pick up. How's that? All right. In this matchup, which is New Orleans favored by 10, I think they cover that easily for the simple fact is that Carolina offense stinks. Cam Newton has been playing up to Cam Newton type of numbers. Their running game is bad. Their offensive line is bad. The only redeeming factor is they have in the passing game is that they have Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen. Quite naturally, on the other side, if you haven't come around to what Kenny Stills has been doing since Brandon Cooks is out, just take note of this. He actually 162 yards in a score in Pittsburgh this week. And I'm telling you, that's only going to continue. That's only going to continue. He had 72 yards and 5 catches against the last time that they met with the Panthers. That's only going to continue. And G's still learning. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, same place, same bat channel, where Lance and myself are going to break down every game and try to give you players that can help you win your fantasy playoff game this week. All right. I like Carolina, like I said, to win this game by at least they're favored by 10. I think they win it by 2 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns. All right. Let's move on to the New York Football Jets, which is another dysfunctional team, going up against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, where Jerick McKinnon is out. He's not going to be playing. He's completely out of the equation, and there's a possibility that there may be a Adrian Peterson sighting, not this week quite naturally, but in week 15 per Peter King. There may be a settlement talks before the appeal decision comes about. That'll allow Adrian Peterson to play. And we're going to be going over, because I said it's only going to be an hour, but we're going to be going over and we're going to finish this up before we get out of here, I guarantee it. Not before the regular time. We're going to be going over into overtime. So stay with us. Well, you play Olsen and Colston. You put them in your lineup, G Still Learning, without a doubt. We got a minute. Tune in next week where FSP, Mr. Victor Gardner, will be back. I'll still be co-hosting. And we'll be talking about week 15 and see if we are still in the playoffs like I am or we've been kicked out. But we're still going to be giving you information that you can use if you're still in the playoffs to move to the next level in your playoff race to who gets to be in the championship round. Okay, so we got about, like I said, 20 seconds. Tune in next week, and we'll be. And also tune into the NFL Exporter, which is on 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where Lance will recap what we talked about on Sunday and talk about the Monday Night Football game. That being said, we are in overtime. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about the New York Football Jets and their dysfunction. There's a lot of teams that are dysfunctioning, and you know what? These are the teams that are 2-10 like the Jets. And 2-10 like the Jaguars, 3-9 like the Giants. Bad teams, real bad teams. Well, this bad team is going against the Minnesota Vikings, who are 5-7. They played pretty well at home. A very young team, rookie quarterback, and a young running back that's not going to be playing. I tell you, Jerick McKinnon is out. Matt Asiata is going to be running the ball. And there's a possibility Adrian Peterson may get into the to the parade come next week. But we'll wait and see. Anyway, in this matchup, young guy's been emerging. In fact, he's displaced Cordell Patterson, who's not the starting wide receiver anymore. And his career is in a full nosedive. And last week, he came off a zero-catch game. I'm talking about Charles Johnson. He was only held to 2 catches for 41 yards last week. But he scored the previous week on 3 catches for 52 yards and had 11 targets that led the team. So Charles Johnson, young kid, speedster. I know he's been picked up on a few waiver wires. He may be still out there. If he's out there, you know what? If he's out there, I would take him over Michael Floyd because of the fact that he's a starting wide receiver and he's going to get the targets, unlike Michael Floyd that may get 5 targets one game and no targets the next. And that's happened with Michael Floyd. So trust me when I say this, I would rather have Charles Johnson, a rookie wide receiver, with a Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, than a Michael Floyd with Drew Stanton in Arizona. I would rather have him in my lineup. With that being said, the team I like here is, and I'm picking teams here, is Minnesota. I think the Jets, if they have stiff competition, especially if they get down in the game, they're going to give up. I can almost guarantee that. They have a difficulty, extreme difficulty in scoring, and Minnesota's defense is only getting better week in and week out. They're playing at home where they play a lot better. They have a heck of a pass rush, and you're using Geno Smith. Come on. Come on. And I don't know, being used reluctantly or he has no choice. I'm talking about Rex Ryan. But it's Geno Smith, who's one turnover-prone guy. Play the Minnesota defense. Play the Minnesota defense. I guarantee it. Don't play anybody on the Jets. They're going to win this game through in the air because the Jets defense is very stout. The Jets defense is very stout. Jets are 6th in preventing fantasy points. They're 20th against the wide receiver, 29th against the tight end, 27th against the quarterback, 23rd against the kicker, and 23rd in defense, preventing fantasy points. So don't play the Jets. Tell me. It'll endanger your health if you do. All right, let's move on to a real pivotal game. These two teams are both 7-5, if I'm not mistaken. The Baltimore Ravens at the Miami Dolphins. Baltimore coming off a devastating loss to the San Diego Chargers, and they're 7-5 in the thick of a playoff race, but are 3-3 in road games. 7 and Dolphins are 3-2 at home. Both these teams have 2 very good defenses, and the winner makes the. And this is going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes, quite naturally. You know that. Justin Forsett is dealing with a knee issue. He's been practicing on a limited basis all week. He was held out of practice but returned on a Friday, and he's expected to play. Same thing as Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith has been dealing with some health issues also. And but he's expected to play. Charles Clay has not been ruled out this week, but may not play again. And he's really not a great start against the Baltimore Ravens, who are number one against the tight end in preventing points. Number two against the quarterback in preventing points. Number 15 against the running back. Number 11 against the wide receiver. And number 12 against the kicker. So, and conversely, Miami is 29th against preventing fantasy points to the quarterback. Number 3 against the running back. They are the worst in the league at preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver. And the middle of the pack against the preventing points to the tight end and to the kicker. So what I'm saying is this, that this is going to be a hard-fought game. There's not a lot of fantasy goodness in here, but you do play your studs. You do play the guys that you've been playing all year in, year out. For the simple fact is these guys are going to be your studs. They're the guys that are most reliable. Regardless of the matchup, you got to put them in there and hopefully and expect them to perform. Miami's favored by 3 in Miami. Joe Flacco is very shaky at times on the road. And the last 6 games, Joe Flacco stuck at 1 or 2 touchdown efforts and usually with a lower yardage. He hasn't thrown an interception since week 9, but the offense has turned more and more toward running Justin Forsett. And Flacco really throws more than 30 passes in any game. And in this game, I don't expect him to throw that much, even though the running game may get stalled at times, because Miami is not a high-scoring team, and they're a run-oriented team also. I do like one of these guys in here that I want to talk about. And you know what? I'll talk about him tomorrow. But he's a guy that is getting more targets, and it's basically the now the number one wide receiver on the Dolphins, because he can do more than the supposedly number one receiver can do, where that one receiver is limited. So who I like in this game? I like Baltimore in this game. That's who I like. I know the consensus is, I know who's favored, but I like Baltimore in this game. Miami's favored by 3, but I like Baltimore. Let's move on to another interesting game. We're going to Cleveland, where Jordan Cameron is still trying to be cleared to play and has been limited in practice because of his slow return from a concussion. Brian Hoyer is still now the starting quarterback with the backing of his offensive line, especially Joe Thomas. But if he falters, I wouldn't be surprised that he gets a hook and Johnny Manziel, who saw the field for a few plays last week, will get back in there. Isaiah Crowell is questionable, but he's expected to play with a sore hip. And I wouldn't trust Terrence West because the fact is he fumbled last week twice. One of those he lost, and I think he's in a doghouse and maybe inactive come game time because of the fumbling issues. This is not the first time he's done that. So the coaching staff, especially the head coach, doesn't deal with quite naturally with running backs giving away the ball, and they have suffered in the past, many running backs for Cleveland. So with that being said, Indy is 22nd, 27th, and 30th, preventing fantasy points in order. Quarterback, 22nd. Running back, 27th, and tight end, 30th, preventing fantasy points. So Indianapolis is not that good against preventing fantasy points. And conversely, Cleveland is number 7, 16th against the running back, 15th against the wide receiver, 11th against the tight end, and 18th against the kicker, and 6th against preventing fantasy points against those positions. 7th for the quarterback, 16th for the running back, 15th for the wide receiver, 11th for the tight end, 18th for the kicker, and 6th for the defense, preventing fantasy points. Very good defense going up against a prolific offense. And we'll see what happens. I'll go over these players. I'm going to shorten this a little bit. I'm going to go over these players' fantasy value or whether it's good or bad on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm just going to give you what I see, what's happening right now, and then give you what I think, who's going to win it, and if they're going to beat the point spread or not. 8-4 Colts on a two-game winning streak. 3-2 on the road. 7-5 Browns are 4-2 at home. I think quite naturally because of the offsetting defense against offense against defense, that this is going to be a pretty close game. One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL shows up here, and that makes a difference. I think Indy wins this, but in a very close game. So I do think they're going to cover, even though it's going to be a close game. I do think Indy's going to cover the spread, which is 3.5. I think they're going to win by maybe not quite a touchdown, but between a touchdown and 4 points, somewhere around there. All right, let's move on to the next game, which would be a very interesting game, a good, very good pass rush defense and defense overall against a prolific offense and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills going to Mile High to visit the Peyton-led Denver Broncos. Julius Thomas is questionable play. He was limited in all practices. And he may be a risky play to rely on since they may end up holding him out this week to rest up along for the road trips to San Diego and Cincinnati. They may feel that they don't need him to win this game against Buffalo. Denver is favored by approximately 10 points. And this is a run-oriented team. Most run-oriented teams, for the most part, that run a lot are not high-scoring teams. Because when you run the ball, you have a tendency to run the clock out that much more. Your scoring opportunities are limited because you run the ball and the clock ticking. So in this, I would think that they're going to try to run the ball, meaning Buffalo, against the Denver Broncos, whose offense is quick-striking and explosive. So in order to keep the ball away from them, they're going to try to run the ball and keep the clock moving and shorten the game. I don't think it's going to work, but who I'm picking here? I'm picking Denver to win this game easy by over 10 points. Easy. The Bills are 7-5. They're on a two-game winning streak. In our 3-2 road games, the Broncos are 9-3 and 6-0 at home, and trying to get the number one seed in the AFC, trying to get into the playoffs. So that's a no-brainer that Denver wins this game easy. Let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks and the Philadelphia Eagles, where Pete Carroll is going to come see Mark Sanchez and company, coach visiting his former player in the town of brotherly love, meaning Philly, and that Seattle defense has been playing a lot better since Bobby Wagner in the middle has been back. Seahawks are 8-4, only 3-3 on the road. The Eagles are 9-3 and 6-0 at home. The Eagles tend to be in shootouts with plenty of points by both teams, while the Seahawks tend to lower scoring matchups where neither team does much. So you got a movable force versus a movable force. Who's going to give up here? The Seahawks or the the hometown Eagles. You know what? Philly's favored by one, believe it or not, against the world champions and Seattle Seahawks, who are both these teams are playoff contenders. And like I said, the Eagles are 9-3. Only one game separates them, 8-4, 9-3. Even though the Eagles are not 6-0 at home against the Chip Kelly offense. And you know what? Eagles, like I said, are favored by one. I like the Eagles to win this by a little less than a touchdown. All right, let's move on to San Francisco at Oakland, where the Oakland Raiders are going to try to hand a loss to their fellow Northern football team in the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers are 7-5, 4-2 in road games. The Raiders are 1-11, the worst team in the league, 1-5 at home, coming off a beatdown from the St. Louis Rams. Latavius Murray will return this week, but head coach Tony Sperano says he will not be used heavily down the stretch and that the backfield rotation will remain intact in order to ensure yet another high draft pick in the spring. I'm adding Murray into the projections, but I don't understand what the Raiders are doing. Darren McFadden, obviously, is near the end. Maurice Jones-Drew has been unproductive with 3 to 5 carries each week. And sometimes he doesn't even suit up anymore. Why not put the kid out there and see what you got for next year? Or maybe they do know what they have and they don't want to get the kid hurt, which still makes no sense. You got nothing to lose. You're not going anywhere. You're 1-11. Then more than likely you're going to have the number one pick because the two teams that are ahead of you, the Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars, are probably not going to win any more games. And it looks like the Raiders won't win any more games the way they're playing. Why not put the kid out there? You saw what he did with the short sample size that he had with 2 touchdowns and over 100 yards with only four touches in one game before he got a concussion, and he set out last game, so he would be right, and you won't play him. So, but we have to wait and see because I saw an article on the net saying he was curious to see how good this kid could be. You got nothing to lose. You got Darren McFadden, and you got Maurice Jones-Drew, who probably won't play this week. So it'll be a rotation of Darren McFadden on Latavius Murray, and you can see who the most dynamic running back is. It's Latavius Murray. Oakland is number 11 against the quarterback, number 32 against the running back, number 6 against the wide receiver. So in the passing game, Oakland is in the top 12 against the passing game. Number 16 against the tight end. So in the top 20. Okay. They're bad against the run. They're bad against the kicker, so you can move the ball on Oakland and get in range to kick field goals. Conversely, against San Francisco, is within the top 10 in all categories except against the tight end, the kicker, and defense. Number 6 against the quarterback. Number 5 against the running back. Number 5 against the wide receiver. Number 15 against the tight end in preventing fantasy points. This should be a no-brainer to me. San Francisco is favored by 9. That's a joke. They should win this game by a couple touchdowns without any problem and go to sleep and be able to go out and party after the fact because they'll have enough energy for that. This should be a no-brainer to me. Let's move on to the 8:30 game, last game on Sunday, which would be a very good game. The New England Patriots coming off a tough loss against Green Bay in Green Bay, going up against the San Diego Chargers, who's going to be at home coming off a great win, last-second win, against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. This is going to be a one hell of a game, okay, for the simple fact that San Diego is 10 against the preventing points against the quarterback, 18th preventing points against the running back, 13th against preventing points for the wide receiver, number three. You hear me, Gronkowski fans? They're number three against preventing points against the tight end and within the top eight or seven, I should say, in preventing points against the opposing kicker or defense. Conversely, New England is 16th against the quarterback, 20th against the running back, number three against wide receivers, number 24 against the tight end, and number 20 against the kicker, and number one in preventing fantasy points to the opposing team. This should be a very good game, people. This game can go up in the air. New England is favored by 3.5 in San Diego. This is the second road game for New England off a devastating loss. And if you look at the face of Tom Brady, you can see that they really wanted the game against Green Bay. They have to turn around and play a night game against San Diego in San Diego. You know what? New England's favored by 3.5. I'm taking San Diego in this game. I think New England's going to have their first two-game losing streak this year. I think they're going to lose again. I'm taking San Diego. And let's go one more jump. One more game we got to go to, and that's the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Atlanta Falcons going to Lambeau Field, where Atlanta is 5-7, 2-4 on the road. Packers are 9-3, and another undefeated 6-0 at home, and they're trying to get the number one seed to get that bye. Last year, the Packers won this game 22-21 over the Falcons last year. And this is going to be a Monday night game, and it will be cold. And quite naturally, Atlanta is a dome team playing in a warm weather versus now they're going to Lambeau Field, and it's going to be cold. Roddy White has not practiced this week because of his ankle, but he's not ruled out for Monday night. But quite naturally, I wouldn't rely on Roddy White if you have an alternative. Like I said, he's not a lock to play, and he may not play at all. So you're better off using Harry Douglas if he's available, or somebody else on your roster that can take the place. No one can take the place, but you can use instead of Roddy White. Green Bay is favored by 11.5. That's a lot of points, people. But Green Bay has been scoring against a defense like Atlanta. Let me see what Atlanta's defense is here. Okay, preventing fantasy points. Atlanta is number 15 against the quarterback. Number 31st against the running back, so Eddie Lacy should have a decent day. 26 against the wide receivers. That spells trouble for the Atlanta DBs. That means Davante Adams, Randall Cobb, and Jordy Nelson should have very good days. They are number four against the tight end. So if you have Richard Rodgers or Andrew Corliss, you're probably not playing these guys anyway because they're very inconsistent in giving you high-value fantasy points. But Mason Crosby is a very good play here. Atlanta is 25th against preventing fantasy points against the kicker, which I just picked him up. And they're middle of the pack against preventing fantasy points in the opposing defense. Conversely, the Packers are preventing fantasy points. The Packers are 21st against the quarterback, 11th against the running back, 19th against the wide receiver, 18th against the tight end. They do better against the kicker and the defense, the preventing fantasy points. So if you, quite naturally, if you played the Atlanta Falcons or defense against the Packers, more than likely it's not a good play. More than likely it's not a good play for you to pick up a kicker against the Packers because the Packers against the kicker is number 9 and the Packers against preventing fantasy points to the opposing defense is 8. So you think that the Packers 11.5 point favorite is low enough, or is it too much? I think it's not high enough. I think the Packers are going to beat this team by 14 points, if not more. I know that they have a good offense, but their defense is going to kill them in this game, meaning Atlanta. With that being said, I just ran down all the games, and I want to thank you for listening. And tune in next week. Like I said, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Victor will be back here. We'll be doing an FSP with a full cast of characters, me as the co-host, Victor as the host with the most. Tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hopefully G's still learning. We'll tune in tomorrow because we're going to break down every game except for the Monday night game. Tomorrow, Lance and I on the master plan will try to give you a win and hopefully make you smile, have a smile on your face comes Tuesday morning, knowing the fact that you're going to be moving to the second round of the playoffs. With that being said, I want to thank you all for listening. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the games for tomorrow, and also enjoy the college games, the conference championship games that they're playing over the last few days. Take care, and we're out of here.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports.